So we're continuing looking at Gideon and his encounter with God, the results of it. And again, just to remind us, through our obedience to God's simple commands, he will respond by encouraging and building our faith. That's what we see happen with Gideon. We're in Judges 6, verse 17. Judges 6, 17, it says, "And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight," he's speaking to the angel of the Lord, this is Gideon here, "then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in, and made ready a kid, and unleavened cakes, of an ephah of flour, the flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot, and brought it out unto him under the oak, and presented it. And the angel of God said unto him, Take the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and lay them upon the rocks, upon this rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh and unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. And when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, Alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said unto him, Peace be unto thee, fear not. Thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Father, we come before you, Lord, ask you to help us. Please teach us and help us to learn from Gideon's encounter, Lord, and that we would encounter you on a regular basis and that we would leave different because of it. God, I don't want our Christianity, I don't want my Christianity to just be ho-hum and I just kind of live like the world and it doesn't affect me in any way. God, I want to be different because of it. I want to serve you. I want to do your will for my life. I want to follow your purpose for me. And I pray that all of us here do want that and desire that, God, and that we would meet with you and you'd speak to our hearts and teach us, Lord. And we ask you even now that you would speak to us, that you would help us, Lord, through your word and through the preaching of your word. Lord God, I need your help and I ask you to fill me with your spirit. And God, please use me, speak through me, and that those listening would be filled with your spirit, Lord, that we would confess our sins. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins. Forgive this nation for the sins that are before us, God. Our complete rejection of you and seems like every area, Lord. And I pray that we would be distinguished from this world. We would be set apart, a separate and distinct people, a holy nation, peculiar, Lord, zealous of good works. God, help us to be that, please, and forgive us that we're so easily entrapped in this world system. God, forgive us for the sin in our lives. Lord, for just having idols in our life, God, and help us to be like Gideon, removing the idols from our life, destroying them. Forgive us just for failing you more than we care to admit, Lord. I just ask you to give us strength and help us to serve you. Be faithful servants, Lord, faithful for a lifetime. Please, dear God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Gideon made several decisions when he encountered God that would do us well to follow. When you're afraid and unsure of what God wants you to do, we need to ask God for confirmation. Now, in the verses prior, we saw that the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, verse 12, and says, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, well, if the Lord be with us, how come all this stuff's befallen us? What happened to all the miracles he told us of, bringing us up from Egypt and all that? And the Lord looked upon him, verse 14, said, "Go in this thy might, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." So he tells him, I've got something great for you. And Gideon's thinking, what in the world are you talking about? Look where we're at. I'm here hiding behind the wine press, threshing wheat, because the Midianites are here and they're stealing everything we've got. We've been like this for 7 years now. What are you talking about? I'm going to deliver them. Me and what army? He says, there's no one to follow me and I'm a nobody. The Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, you're going to save Israel." Verse 15, he says, "Wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." We need to remember that. You know, that's what the song spoke about is, my name is not I was, I will be, my name is I am. And God promised Gideon, we've been given the same promise, but God promised Gideon, he said that, "Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." We just looked at that, how we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We have the Holy Spirit once we're saved. We also know that Jesus said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." We have that same promise. And when God asks us to do something that's impossible, something that's outside of of the norm of society, because this was outside the norm of society. I mean, everyone else was just kind of fall in line with what the Midianites say, and let's just go along to get along, and we're not going to do anything different. And now God shows up to Gideon and calls him a mighty man of valor, even though he's hiding out. And he says, you're going to deliver Israel. And he's thinking, what in the world? How am I going to do that? And he is afraid. He's unsure of what God has asked him to do. So at this point, what are we to do? I couldn't say things last week, and now I'm stuttering. So you got Elmer Fudd this week. I don't know what to tell you. Is it, or whichever one stutters. I don't know. But pray for me that I can speak clearly, all right? Because this is crazy. All right. So what are we to do when we're unsure of what God wants us to do? Well, it's pretty simple. From the example Gideon had when he encountered God, he just asked for confirmation. He asked him to confirm what was happening. He said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. He said, just show me, God, because this is crazy. I don't believe it. That's essentially what he was saying. I think he was kind of like the man that wanted his son healed. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Obviously, God showed up to him, the preaching from the man of God that God had sent when the children of Israel cried out for help had affected him. And there was something there, and God shows up to Gideon. He didn't show up to anyone else. He showed up to Gideon. And see, sometimes we need to remind ourselves, too, with the preaching of the Word of God, it might just affect one. But that one's sometimes all you need. God said, I'm going to be with you. Okay, I'm going to be with you wherever you go, Gideon. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. So Gideon simply asks God, show me a sign thou talkest with me. He just asked for confirmation. We can't let fear stop us. He says, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. It can be hard sometimes to ask God for a sign, but what he did is he pleaded on behalf of God's grace. If I have found grace in thy sight, when asking for something from God, plead the grace of God. Exodus 33:13 says, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So plead the grace of God. Say, God, wait, by your grace, Lord, I need some help. By your grace, God, I need to know what to do next. Grace is God's enabling power. It's God's supernatural help for us to do what He's asking us to do. And He says, hey, if I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign thou talkest with me. And guess what God ended up doing? We read about it. He showed him a sign. Didn't He? I mean, didn't He miraculously take the offering that Gideon had given to Him? He just burnt it up right there in front of him. He showed him a sign. Gideon asked for it and God showed it to him. Now, again, I'm not necessarily encouraging us to seek after signs, to ask for signs. The Bible says a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. But I would say confirmation. Ask confirmation of God. Whatever. You can call it whatever you want. Gideon wanted God to show him, if I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. And God obliged him. And I think we can ask God, God, if this is what you want me to do, if this is where you're leading, then show me. I need to know. I need peace in my heart. And the Bible says that that's one surefire way we can know that God is at work in our lives. Go with me, if you would, to Philippians. This is going to tell us basically the same thing that Gideon's doing right here, okay? It's worded a little bit differently, but it gives us essentially the same tactic, if you will, of how to approach God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, get this, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Look at this. Let your requests be made known unto God. So he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication. Bring it to me, God says. Come ask me. Ask me if you're not sure. If you're worrying about it, ask me. That's what he says. Be careful for nothing. You're worried about everything. You're taking care for every single thing. He said, don't do that. Bring it to me in prayer and supplication. Let your request be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then God says, and I'll give you peace. And that's what Gideon is doing here. Gideon is going to God. If I found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. God, show me this is what you want me to do because I am unsure. I'm afraid. And he went to God. He expected God to answer. That is the prayer of faith. We can't let our fear of what God may ask us to do stop us from asking Him to stay involved in our lives. Don't let your fear of what God may ask you to do stop you from asking Him to stay involved in your life. Gideon said in verse 18, "Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee." He asked God to stay. He didn't want God to leave. He wanted God with him. Do you want God with you? I mean, working in your life, guiding your life, guiding your steps. What if right now God told you to change everything 180 degrees from the direction you're going right now? Do you want God in your life? Because Gideon, this is not what Gideon had planned. You can tell just by reading the story that he's like, no, I'm fine just, you know, hiding out, threshing wheat, you know, behind the wine press, let the Midianites do their thing. I'm fine right here. But God shows up and says, I've got some. You're going to defeat the Midianites as one man, and I'll be with you. Don't worry about it. That's real easy to say. It's a different thing to do it. But he said, God, don't depart. Depart not hence. Don't leave here. Don't leave yet. Wait, God, I want you to stay in my life. I want you to be a part of what is going on. So if God flipped everything upside down for you, would you still want Him there? Here's what happens a lot of times. There's a lot of people that are miserable in the Christian life because God has called them to do something and they've said no. And they are miserable. And usually they get out of church because they're so miserable. Usually, not every time, but usually. Because they don't like the conviction that God's there calling them still. And they just, I'm not going to be around that then. I'm just going to leave. And they step into darkness because they're not walking in the light. And there's no telling where it's going to get. You know, look at 2 Peter 1. We just read it. But they've forgotten that they were purged from their old sins. Why? When they're not adding to their faith virtue and to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance faith, I think. But anyway, those characteristics that are listed there. And they can get to the point that they've forgotten that they're saved because they reject the light. It's miserable, but Gideon said, no, I'm not going to do that. God, stay here. Depart not hence. I want you to be a part of my life. Have you invited God to be a real part of your home and your life? I mean, a real part of your home that He dictates what happens in your house. Not you, not your way, but He does. I mean, if He dictated you need to get rid of your smartphone and get a flip phone, would you do it? I mean, that's giving God control of your home. That's what I'm talking about here. Have you invited Him to be a part of your home? Gideon sincerely asked Him to stay. He said, I pray thee. Don't depart. Depart not hence, I pray thee. Is God welcomed in your home, or is it more like the devil's playground? What's in there influencing you? What is in your home that's influencing you? Would you remove it if God asked? Is it godly things? Are there godly things in your home, or is it like the devil's playground? Because Gideon, the man that God shows up to say, you're going to deliver Israel, he was living in a house of idolatry at the time. And you know what? God says, we're not going any farther, Gideon, until you get rid of this stuff. And He asks him to destroy the idols in his father's house. And that's what he had to do. He had to destroy it. That was a step of faith. That was a step of obedience, but a step of faith. And that's what faith is, just obeying the Word of God. God shows up to him, tells him this is what you need to do, and he does it. The altar of Baal that was set up in his father's house, he was told to destroy it, and he did it. So, are you willing to destroy any altars of Baal in your home? As you invite God in, as you invite Him to stay, He'll show you what's acceptable and what's unacceptable. Are you ready to make the changes when you invite him to stay. When you tell God, depart not hence, I pray thee. God, stay here. I need you, God. Well, remember, we just read about grieving the Holy Spirit of God, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Well, we grieve him when we don't listen to him. When he commands us to remove something, to bring something in. But in this case, we're talking about removing some things. And we can grieve him by not obeying him. This is a matter of submission. Do you want God in your home? Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. If you've done that, then it's God's way, not yours. Gideon had a desire to be close to God. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. I don't believe necessarily at this point he knew he was talking with God, but I do believe he knew he was speaking with a representative of God. This was something different. This man shows up because it's an angel of the Lord. And by the way, they always show up in the form of a man. Okay, they never have wings. An angel in the Bible never has wings. Here's a good example of it. He shows up looking just like a man. Okay, but he has a message for Gideon from God. So he knows at the very least this is a representative of God. This is someone speaking on behalf of God. By the end of it, after this offering's taken up, he knows something special just happened. So I do believe he knew he was speaking with a representative of God, and he wanted to be around that influence. He wanted that man to stay there. Depart not hence, I pray thee. Don't leave. I want you here. I like being around you. Kind of sounds like Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together. What? I want to be here. It's not I have to go to church. I get to go to church. I get to. It's a privilege to be here. I enjoy being here. I want to be here. Why? Because this is where God meets with his people. This is it. This is where it takes place. I want to be around God. I want to be around godly people. I want that influence in my life. I need that influence in my life. I need that to help me keep my thinking straight, to think on godly things, to think on things that are pure, lovely, just, to think on truth. I need that, and so do you. We need that influence in our lives. He wanted to be around that influence. He wanted to be around the messenger of God. Do you want that? It's funny. When I was a Sunday school teacher, before I became a pastor, and I would see people, like at Walmart or something, whatever, you run into them, they're like, hey, how's it going? They're happy to talk to you. As soon as I became a pastor, and I would see somebody in Walmart, I mean, literally, I would see them like catch my eye, and they just, boom, shoot down another aisle. They're just like, avoid you like the plague. I mean, I've seen that happen before. What's the problem that you don't want to be around a godly influence? There's a problem when you don't want to be around your preacher. There's a problem when you don't want to be around your church. You have got some serious spiritual problems if you don't want to be around God and his people. Do you want to be around godly influences? Now, if you're asking God for confirmation of his will, you have to offer him your best. He says, depart not hence, in verse 18, I pray thee until I come unto thee. Now get this, and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. So he presents him this offering that he gives to him. Now, God is not looking to leave you high and dry. He wants to encourage you and build your faith. This is what this whole thing is doing. It's all to build Gideon's faith so that Gideon is prepared for the task before him. God doesn't want to just leave you hanging. He wants to help you. He doesn't want to leave you struggling, in despair, discouraged. No, he wants to help you. But here's your thing. Here's your side. Are you asking God to show up? Are you saying, God, depart not hence? See, that's what we have to do. That's what Gideon did. Now he was discouraged. Go back and look at it. Verse 13. And Gideon said unto him, Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us. God, if you're with us. Jehovah, if you're here. Why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles our fathers told us of? Saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. See, I can see some sarcasm in this as Gideon says it. Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles? I heard about all this stuff. Where are they then, God? Some resentment, maybe a little bitterness, discouragement. Think about 7 years of oppression where they're taking everything you've got and you're having to hide to just thresh some wheat to make, you know, half a loaf of bread maybe. Or however much it was. But you're in hiding like that. And this is how you've been living for the last 7 years of your life as people come in and take what you've worked for. Now imagine that, someone just breaking into your house and taking your money. You've worked for it. They start oppressing you. They come into your house and they take your couch. They take your car. They say, our car's not working. We're taking this one. We like it. They just start taking everything that you've worked for and they show up with a bunch of people and guns. And you've been living like that for 7 years now. How discouraged are you going to be? Wouldn't you at least have thought sometime during that, God, where are you? Where are you in all of this? Why is this happening? And that's where Gideon's at. He's discouraged. God doesn't want to leave us like that. He's not looking to leave us high and dry. He wants to encourage you and build your faith. But God also works with the willing, and that's why he appeared to Gideon. I mean, I just take it to me. I'm like, Gideon was the only one willing to stand up. It doesn't talk about anybody else in this that God appeared to. Now, I'm not saying there weren't others that were willing to follow somebody that finally stood up, because there were. And ultimately, he went to battle with 300. But no one was willing to lead it. No one was willing to step out. And God works with the willing. That's why he appeared to Gideon. Genesis 22:11, the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. See, he was willing. Are you willing? If God calls out to you, would you say, Here am I. Here am I. Exodus 3:4, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Same thing to Isaiah. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go. The willing. The willing. See, God doesn't force people to do things. God gives us a choice. He gives us a choice. God's graciousness, and I like this, is that he's going to stay. Gideon asked him, Depart not hence. He said, I will tarry until thou come again. God will stay. He's gracious. If we want God to encourage us and build our faith, then we must make things ready for him. He says, Don't leave. I want to bring something to you. Verse 19, Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket, and he put the broth in a pot and brought it out unto him under the oak and presented it. He made things ready. Let's be ready to make provision for God's blessing by walking with God all week. Let's look at Ephesians 6:6, if we would, real quick. Ephesians 6:6. Ephesians 6:6 says, Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Serving God from the heart. Walk with God all week. It needs to be from the heart. Our heart has to desire it. We can make provision for God's blessing by walking with him all week through a regular time of prayer, a regular time of Bible reading, a regular time of Bible study. By studying the gospel and sharing it with the lost. Are you able to present the gospel to somebody? You should be able to present the gospel to somebody. You have to study that to know how to do it. In Hebrews 11:7, it says, By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Noah prepared. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet, something that had never happened before, and he prepared for it. He'd never seen it before. You know what? Nobody here has ever seen hell. It's not seen as yet by us. But are we preparing for it? Are we preparing to help others escape it? So how do we make provision for God's blessing? By walking with Him all week, studying the gospel, sharing it with the lost, confessing our sins and repenting of them. Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. 2 Timothy 2:21, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So we purge ourselves. As we make things ready for God, it's also a means to spend more time with Him. Think about that. Isn't that where it all started? Depart not hence, I pray thee. As we make things ready, guess what we're doing? We're spending time with Him. We're saying, don't leave, God, I need you here. Help me, show me. We should do things to keep us around God, the things of God, and men of God longer. Now, this meal that Gideon goes to prepare is a time of fellowship and learning for Gideon. At least that's what he wanted. He was going to sit down and eat a meal with him. That's fellowship. That's time spent talking, getting to know one another. In Adam Clark's commentary on this verse 19, he says, speaking about making ready a kid, he says, the flesh he put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot. The manner in which the Arabs entertain strangers will cast light on this verse. So here's how the Arabs do it. Dr. Shaw observes, besides a bowl of milk and a basket of figs, raisins, or dates, which upon our arrival were presented to us to stay our appetite, the master of the tent fetched us from his flock, according to the number of our company, a kid or goat, a lamb or a sheep, half of which was immediately seethed by his wife and served up with kukuso. The rest was made kebab, i.e. cut to pieces and roasted, which we reserved for our breakfast or dinner the next day. May we not suppose, says Mr. Harmer, that Gideon, presenting some slight refreshment to the supposed prophet according to the present Arab mode, desired him to stay till he could provide something more substantial, that he immediately killed a kid, seethed part of it, and when ready brought out the stewed meat in a pot with unleavened cakes of bread which he had baked, and the other part, the kebab, in a basket for him to carry with him for some after repast in his journey. So he prepared him basically two meals. Now, think about all the work that went into that. He is presenting something to God. He's really giving God something. But now think of all the time they're going to have together. I mean, how quick is... they can do it a lot faster than we can, but how quick are they going to be able to slaughter a kid and then skin it, get the meat off, get some boiling, cut the rest up, and then basically throw it on the grill? I mean, how quick is all that going to happen? Think about how much time they're going to have. But this is what Gideon would have done. This is what we're told he did. And this is still, even up to this point in the 1800s, that they're still doing in Arab countries. And I have no doubt that many places that still happens. So it was a time for them to spend in fellowship. And this is what it means when we make ourselves ready for God, when we spend time with Him, feasting on His manna, on the Word of God. It's so easy to neglect that, isn't it? How many of you have found it's really easy to neglect the Word of God in your daily life? Yeah, I mean, it's like if it doesn't happen in the morning, it's about not happening for most of us. Now, sometimes we may get to it at night, but typically if we don't get it done early, the day just goes. And then the end of the night comes and I'm tired. But my, how we need to make time for this if we want God to encourage and help us. We have to make time for God. And I'm afraid many of the problems that we have are because we don't make time for Him. Many of the discouragements that we have are because we don't make time for Him. The idolatry in our lives is because we don't make time for Him. See, if we make time for Him, that's another way to say that. Making time for Him, preparing ourselves for Him, is like this: walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what we need to do. We have to go beyond a mere offering to God and sacrifice for Him. Verse 19, Gideon went in and made ready a kid and unleavened cakes. It says, and he presented it. he sacrificed for him. It was an animal sacrifice. He wasn't getting that animal back. And we have to be willing to sacrifice for God. Gideon gave what cost him time, resources, energy, and even safety. Time, resources, energy, and safety. Are we giving of our time, our resources, our energy, and our safety? God doesn't just want your money. Here's what he really wants. He wants you. If he gets you, then he'll get your money, your time, your resources, your energy. He wants you. That we present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, it's not enough, and we need to lose this mindset that it's enough for me just to show up here and sit in a seat. That's not biblical Christianity. That's not enough. That's not what God wants. God wants all of you, not just, you know, your attendance, not just to be a pew warmer. He wants all of you. That would be your time, your resources, your energy. And praise God, we don't have to worry about our safety for the most part. Now, a sacrifice should cost something. If it hasn't cost you something to follow God, I question how sincere you are in following Him. And I'm not necessarily speaking monetarily. Everyone in the Bible that followed God sacrificed. Everyone. They offered something to God. What are you offering? Now, confirmation from God may come in ways we don't expect it. Look at verse 20. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Just confirmation comes in ways we don't expect. Just because what we offer God isn't used how we think it should be doesn't mean it's wasted. You may have it all set out in your head. Here's what I'm going to do for you, God. And God says, that's great, but here's what I'm going to do with it. Gideon offered him thinking, I'm going to feed him. He's going to be able to eat. We're going to have this meal together. And he says, you just sit that on this rock and pour the pot out over here. Now, think about that. You've gone to all this work to prepare a meal. You bring it out. You're all excited to present your best to God's man. And he says, just set it on the rock there. And okay. You put it on the rock and you still got the pot. And he says, no, now dump it out. And you're like, what? We're going to waste it. What a waste. Kind of like when Mary, you know, anointed Jesus with the ointment that was worth basically a year's salary. I mean, can you imagine? She poured that on him. She anointed him with it. A year's salary. How much do you make a year? You know, that's like $40,000, $50,000. And, you know, Judas, the thief, says this was wasted. We could have sold it and bought, you know, food for the poor. He said, no, she hath anointed me to my burial. It wasn't a waste. It was exactly what was needed. And I'm sure Gideon's thinking the same thing. He's like, what are you doing? I just went to all this trouble and you're pouring it on the ground? Wouldn't you think that if you prepared a meal and then the guy's like, hey, just dump it on the floor. What? What? You see how ridiculous this sounds? Does this not sound ridiculous to you? I mean, if someone came to your house and you gave them a meal and they just like grabbed the plate and just dumped it off the side of your table, wouldn't you be like, what are you doing? I mean, wouldn't you? Like, did you spill it? Was it an accident? Well, I mean, it sure looked like you dumped it on purpose. I mean, wouldn't you think, what is this person doing? It's like, all right, well, I'm getting tired, time to go. Put yourself in Gideon's place. What would you be thinking? So just because what we offer to God isn't used how we expect it doesn't mean it's wasted. Through Gideon's obedience to a simple yet strange command, he was witness to a miracle from God. Which goes right back to what he wanted. If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Show me that this is from you, God. Show me this is real. Show me this is what you want. Show me that I really am a mighty man of valor. Show me that I'm really going to beat the Midianites. Show me that you're with me. So we have to be willing to do sometimes the unorthodox if God asks us. See, nobody does it this way. God says, I know. But you're not to be like them. You're not to look to them. You're to look to me. And you're to be peculiar to me. And Gideon witnessed a miracle from God, and he also got the answer to his prayer. Show me a sign that thou talkest with me. God received everything Gideon offered because Gideon was obedient and submissive. He received it all. The angel of God in verse 20 said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. God received it all. Everything Gideon offered, God took it. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight, just like that. I don't know how that happened. I would like to see it. That'd be pretty neat. I wonder if it was like Gideon was looking at the rock and just like, and then he's gone. He looked back and now he's gone. I don't know if he saw him just, who knows? No idea. But I'd like to see it. I really hope there's like a movie theater in heaven and we get to like watch all these scenes take place. I would really like that. That would be really neat to be able to get to see all of this stuff that we read about in the Bible. Gideon was obedient. It said there in verse 20 that he did so. He was told to pour it all out, and he did so. Through our simple obedience to God's commands, he responds by encouraging and building our faith. Gideon did so. And he got the answer he was looking for. He was encouraged, and his faith was built up. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey. To obey. If you love me, keep my commandments. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. A hearer only is what we call a hypocrite. That just hurts other people's faith even. If you're just a hearer only, you're only hurting other people's faith. Because they're hearing the same message but not seeing it enacted on. Everybody in here, take heed to this. That's one of the greatest ways that we can hurt our children or your future children if you don't yet have children is by being a hearer only and not a doer of the word. That's a surefire way to send your kid to hell by not living it. Now, I understand everyone makes their own choices, but they shouldn't reject Christ because they see you live as a hypocrite. Don't put that stumbling block in their way to say, oh, that stuff's all fake. I've heard it all preached and saw none of it lived out. I've talked to so many people like that. So many people like that. I grew up in a church like that. I grew up going to church all my life and, you know, it was just fake. Talk about the fakeness of their parents, the fakeness of people at church. Don't be like that. Don't be that person. You're just hurting other people's faiths. And usually the people that you want the most to get saved. Now, I understand some of those people are just making excuses for their own wickedness, and that's not always the case. There's a lot of that that goes on as well. I'm not making an excuse for that, for those people to be in rebellion to God, and they're just looking for any excuse they can find. But I am talking about the reality of our lives. Are we being doers of the word or hearers only? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The fat of rams, it's talking about the offerings that are given. And some people, they look to, well, look, we give all this money. You know, God surely got to be pleased with that. Sure, if you obey. But if you don't obey, then your sacrifice is stench in His nostrils. The fat of rams you offer is nothing to Him. He doesn't like it. He talks about it being an abomination to the children of Israel as they walked away from Him. Your offerings are an abomination. Why? Because you draw nigh to me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. A lot of people learn to talk the talk, but they're not walking the walk. And it's heartbreaking to see it, to watch it. I know people right now that I know that have walked with the Lord for decades, and they're walking away from Him now. And it breaks my heart to hear it, to see it. And if we'll simply obey God's commands, He'll encourage us and He'll build our faith. He'll build your faith. Father, we love You. We thank You.